The Joint Committee on Ways and Means for May 19th, 2017. We have a number of items on the agenda. The first item on the agenda is, at the last full committee meeting, the DEQ federal grant application request relating to air toxics ambient monitoring did not receive the required majority to pass. I changed my vote and served notice of possible reconsideration. I will now open a possible reconsideration and work session on the DEQ grant request. Do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move to reconsider the vote by which the DEQ grant request did not receive the required majority to pass.
Okay. Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion carries. Ms. Senator Frederick, will you do your presentation again?
I will do that.
The motion carries and the DEQ grant is back before the committee.
Colleagues, you've heard this before, but I'll try it again. On March 14th, the Natural Resources Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Department of Environmental Quality to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in the amount of $649,265 for the community-scale air toxics ambient monitoring. The purpose of the grant is to investigate public health impacts of air toxins from diesel emissions from lesser understood sources. The DEQ will work with Portland State University and Reed College to conduct some of the grant work. The grant does not require a state match. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommended approval.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Representative McClain.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin. Last week, I was able to ask the department questions about their decision-making process, since I'm concerned that the way that the decision was made to have a coordinated communication plan and enforcement of air quality goals was an extraordinary endeavor, and when there was no evidence other than modeling, and the subject of the investigation in Tech in Lebanon was compliant with the law. And since that time, the director of the DEQ has met with me and has assured me that DEQ will produce the documents that were that they have showing the criteria of their decisions on who to target, and that the basis for their decision has objective factors. He acknowledged what Mr. Mason acknowledged here before us, that the DEQ made several significant mistakes in this process, and that they need to learn from it, and that there may not be a good answer as what I said, for whom the bell tolls. In other words, how does someone who has the use of TCE get chosen for this type, and they, but they realize that they may have to bolster it up. So I wanted to publicly acknowledge that, and that the use of this extraordinary government power is going to have to be clearly only utilized when there are objective bases, and in the most reasonable way. So in that regard, I wanted to thank the director publicly and at least let my fellow members know that my many of my concerns, while not answered, have been given affirmation that they were legitimate and they will be answered. As I said last time, out of my relationship with Senator Frederick, I'm going to support the ask today, and to because monitoring in areas in his district are necessary. And again, myself, and I, what I heard last week, because I went back to the tape, I had to, I got pulled out of the meeting, and I hope the public knows that the concerns with the use of extraordinary government power, which this program wields, has to be done in such a careful way. And what we saw in one of the first times it was utilized, using communication plans and press releases and multiple agencies and all this effort, this was a failure. And but hopefully DEQ will learn and not use its power arbitrary, but in a way that is honoring to those compliant with the law, while upholding the mandate that we all agree with, protecting the public from toxins. So that's, I'll put that on the record. I'll be supporting it this today and look forward to Mr. Whitman and Mr. Mason producing the documents that they promised. Thank you.
He said he is so
brilliant. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I guess I'd need to know, is this going to be contracted out? Is it going to be done in-house? Is there any way the legislature could have a list of the areas or the companies that they will be planning to monitor before they monitor it?
Do we have LFO staff or agency staff?
I can probably answer that because it was one of the things that was brought up. It is contracted out to Portland State and Reed College, and that's where it's set up. And what was the second question? I'm sorry.
We know what locations or businesses they've identified before they do it.
So well, it's not businesses; it's locations. It's region. It's areas of neighborhoods, and there are four that are expected. Where those are, I think they've identified. I think all four. Is that correct? But they are in north and northeast Portland.
Thank the senator.
Any additional discussion?
Mr. Coach, I do want to comment that I hope you understand, and I see that the president of our Senate is here to vote, that it is a rich history in Oregon where Oregonians, especially legislators, question the use of power, that when people are powerful and wield the power of the government, in the way that we saw, that they should be subject to questioning. And as a result of questioning power, some of my colleagues who did were attacked. Not physically, they were attacked with a hit ad. And they were accused. They were lied about.
It's the principle.
And once again, we see the sad consequence that when people question power, they are attacked and lied about.
Rise above.
And I just want us to acknowledge it's happening here in Oregon. And it was very sad for me to see my colleague, Representative Wisnett, and others attacked and lied about because they dared to question power. And that's not who we are as Oregonians. And I hope people understand that when we, on the Ways and Means Committee, question agencies' behavior, agencies that are seeking funding of taxpayers, they are going to be subject to questions on how they utilize their administrative powers. And I, for one, will not back off because people are putting out hit ads attacking us for the audacity of questioning those in power. That's not who we are.
Anything additional? Yes, Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. In my history of mayor, we do a lot of studies, and I'm opposed to spending money on studies when clearly we have a problem and we should just fix the problem. So I would challenge DEQ to work at fixing the problem. The study will delay everything for a year or two. And I appreciate the income to the state from the federal government, but most concerned about federal deficit and state spending. Thank you.
Okay.
Seeing no others. Mr. Rocco, call the roll.
Representative Wisner?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Holvey?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
Yep.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Snyder Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
No.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion carries. Close that work session. I will open a work session. Open a work session on SB.
What you come down here for?
I have no idea.
Go away.
No.
Go away.
Well, I'm glad you joined us. So
you can sit here. Gray and pink matches.
I'll open a work session on SB 5510, Columbia River Gorge Commission. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5510 is the budget bill for the Columbia River Gorge Commission. The commission was authorized by the 1986 Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Act and then created through an interstate compact between Oregon and Washington. The commission's mission is to establish, implement, and enforce policies and programs that protect and enhance the scenic, natural, recreational, cultural resources of the Columbia River Gorge. The Natural Resources Subcommittee approved a total budget of $967,919 general fund. This funding level is a 5.3% increase from the 15-17 legislative approved budget, but is equivalent to the 17-19 adjusted current system level amount. All commission staff are state of Washington employees, so the Oregon budget includes no positions or FTE. By the interstate compact, Oregon and Washington are to equally share in the operating costs of the commission. The budget includes $945,314 for joint expenses, which must be matched by Washington, and $22,605 for Oregon commissioner expenses. The Washington legislature is still deliberating on the commission's budget. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the agency's key performance measures and directed commission staff to work with the LFO in the interim to consolidate performance measures between the two states. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5510 to be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. Thank you.
Discuss the motion before the committee. Yes. Representative Huffman and then Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to give my biennial speech on the Gorge Commission to get on the record and explain to folks that this is a unique commission for the state of Oregon and the state of Washington. As the pony said, it was it's an animal out of Congress with no funding attached. But just because the commission isn't funded doesn't mean the work goes on. The large part of what happens around the Gorge Commission and the budget is planning. Unique to Multnomah, Hood River, and Wasco counties, and without the Gorge Commission budget, and at this point, I would like to lobby for the planning grants, which the governor cut out of the budget, which are also companion to the Gorge Commission budget, that those three counties need for planning. By planning, I'm talking planning in planning's sense that we all know planning departments. There's a lot of planning that has to be done around the rules of the scenic area, and so I encourage support of this commission budget. It's probably the only budget we have where we have to wait and see what another state is going to do. I would encourage leadership to please hold Washington's feet to the fire and not undercut this budget by $200,000. We need the full amount from both sides. One state cannot outfund the other. They have to match. So please get Washington up. Oregon cannot go down, and please get us the planning grants. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose Senate Bill 5510 today, not because it lacks legitimacy or is important, but because it contains $967,000 in general fund. There is no agreement on general fund cost containment. The fact is that budgets are choices, and the choice not to have cost containment passed by this body is greatly disconcerting to me, and here we are moving general fund budgets without any agreement on how we're going to exit with a fiscal plan in place, looking out over what are escalating costs to our state government over the next 10 years. So for that reason, I won't support this, actually, or the next budget, because they have general fund appropriations, and there is no agreement on cost containment in the general fund. I'm disappointed by that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing two, motion carries. Three? Who is the third? Oh, Representative Stark. Please note Representative Stark was no also. Motion carries.
Mr. Kutcher. There was four.
Four.
I'm sorry, I didn't have it before.
Okay, four.
I did not.
But not me. Four.
I'm a nay, Mr. Chair. Kutcher.
You have four noes on the House side.
Mr. Chair, I have Representative McLean, Representative Stark, Representative Lisman, and Representative Smith.
Okay. Motion carries. Close out work session, open work session at HB 5032, Psychiatric Security Review Board. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5032 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. The board has jurisdiction over people in Oregon found guilty of crimes except for insanity, with certain exceptions. The agency is also responsible to process relief petitions and hearings for persons barred from possessing a firearm due to a mental health determination. The board's primary purpose is to protect the public through the ongoing review of the progress of those placed under its jurisdiction and to determine their appropriate placement. The Human Services Subcommittee approved a budget of $3 million, nearly all general fund, and 11 full-time positions. The budget continues to fund the current program and is 11.5% higher than the 2015-17 legislatively approved budget. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5032 be amended by the Dash 1 Amendment and be reported out, do pass as amended. And colleagues, I would just say, I said this in committee and I'll say it again here. 2 years ago when we were dealing with this agency, it was in disarray and had significant management issues. Ms. Britton, who's sitting out there today, has done a remarkable job and deserves enormous credit for turning around a very difficult, troubled agency into a highly efficient, highly functional group, which is doing great work and meeting all of its benchmarks in a huge turnaround. So I just want to commend her and her team for their work.
Any additional discussion? Yes.
Just a quick question, Mr. Co-Chair. I see that there's an 11.5% increase in general fund, but no change in positions, and from what I can tell, no other rationale for an 11.5% increase. What's the reason for that?
I'm pulling out the work session papers, but I may need help from LFO on this one.
Chair, representative, it's a current service level budget, so it is just the standard roll up of personal services and S&S inflation. So the personal services is just the, you know, funding 17-19 at the same salaries as they were in, as they will be in June.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kutcher.
Additional discussion? Objections to the motion before the committee? Please note Senator Thompson, Representative Smith, Representative Wisnant, Representative McLean, Representative Huffman, Representative Stark. Motion carries. Close out work session, open work session, SB 65A, relating to the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 65 authorizes the Psychiatric Security Review Board to establish a restorative justice program to assist recovery of crime victims. In addition, the bill modifies language relating to jurisdiction over persons found guilty except for insanity of certain crimes. Under current law, the court may place persons found guilty except for insanity under the jurisdiction of either the Oregon Health Authority or PSRB, depending upon the offense. Senate Bill 65 consolidates all persons found guilty except for insanity of a felony and committed to the Oregon State Hospital under the jurisdiction of PSRB. This change is effective on July 1, 2018. The bill is expected to have a minimal fiscal impact on PSRB, as the agency will have the staffing capacity the second half of the biennium to pick up the hearings previously done by the Oregon Health Authority. The bill is expected to have a savings of $401,413 general fund for the Oregon State Hospital in the 2017-19 biennium. This adjustment will be made in the Oregon Health Authority's budget, House Bill 5026. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 65 be reported out due pass.
Discuss the motion before the committee. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session, open work session, HB 2318, relating to State Parks and Recreation Department fees. Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2318 modifies the process for establishing or adjusting fees for the use of state parks. The measure allows for the State Parks and Recreation Commission to establish a schedule that sets forth a range of charges within which the State Parks and Recreational Director may set, adjust, and assess fees for use of areas established and maintained by the department. The director is limited to adjusting the fees to no more than four times each year. The range of fees established by the State Parks and Recreational Commission remains subject to the legislative approval or ratification, but the bill exempts the specific fees set or adjusted within that range from legislative ratification process. OPRD anticipates an overall increase in fee revenues resulting from the measure of $800,840 in the 2017-19 biennium. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2318 be reported out due pass.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Representative Stark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions for the agency if they are available.
Ms. Brockwell, is there an agency representative here?
Oh.
Yeah, there she is.
Good morning, Co-Chairs Devlin and Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lisa Sumption, the Director of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department.
Again, thank you, Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Nathanson. I wanted to touch base on House Bill 2184, which passed in 2015. And what the bill did, my office, it was the first bill I worked on in this building, so I was wondering whatever happened to it. And it was probably the simplest bill I've worked on in this building, but we worked with your office and with ODOT, and it instructed, ODOT to work with the Parks and Rec Department to put, it was two different things. One was to put a link on ODOT and DMV websites so that when people are renewing their registration and so forth, they could easily find access to how to purchase parks permits, and it also instructed the agencies to work together to put brochures and information readily available in DMV. Mm-hmm. And we anticipated that over the course of a couple of years, it would generate $300,000 or more. I have not been able to find those links on ODOT website, DMV website. I've looked in DMVs and not found any information. Can you give me an update on where that is?
Yeah, Co-Chairs and Representative Stark. So thank you for letting me know you were going to ask so I could actually go look, and I couldn't find it either. So we partnered with DMV last year to actually modify their website and add this so when you go to renew, you could have the ability to purchase your annual online permit. So in addition to the online permits for the day use for the parks, we actually added ATV. So if you go on DMV's website, not ODOT, DMV, over on the left-hand side, it says, I just literally looked it up, vehicle info tags. and there's a link there, and when you link there, it will take you to our day use and our ATV permits. So that's been out there about a year. We made like business-size card brochures that are in field offices. What I would need to go back and do, though, is look at referrals to see how many have come from that link, because at the same time, we launched our website and put them up there, and just naturally, we've grown 45% in the off-season, 13% in regular season. So I don't know the exact number of dollars that have come in, but it's there. I just looked it up. So thank you for asking, because
thank you for the clarity. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Additional? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think this bill is necessary, but I do have some concerns on when we increase fees, how that will impact seniors and low-income people that decide to go out and visit these areas. I will be watching to make sure that these fees do not become so excessive that they do not have access and deny them the ability to enjoy their state parks as well.
Sorry, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just really quick, Madam Director, I want to go on the record and thank you for all the work you're doing in Eastern Oregon. I've seen firsthand your staff working with small communities and with the counties, and they're doing an A-plus job. They're accessible. It's pretty cool when they'll drive out to Spray, Oregon.
And there's someone there.
And take an afternoon and sit down with folks and work through opportunities and talk about how to make things work. And so, in my view, you're doing a great job, and your department's doing a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And just can I address the accessibility? So the intent of this is to be able to just slightly, in some places that are overloved, to be able to have a slight increase and be able to provide more accessibility and actually drive deeper discounts so that way we can get more folks into the park and have greater accessibility. We know there's some capacity where folks are willing to pay a little bit more, so that way currently we offer discounts and waivers to veterans and foster and adoptive families. We want to be able to spread that a little bit further across and not keep waiving fees. We know that there's an opportunity there to provide greater access.
Okay, any additional discussion? Yes, Representative Holvey.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here. I didn't ask you this question ahead of time, but Senator Manning's question about access, I was sort of curious about the relationship of the Parks Department with there's a Parks and Recreation Foundation who was able to acquire, I think, 30 campsites that in the Cove Palisades Park,
right,
and then turned around and are auctioning those off for prices that are really high for probably good purposes. But it makes me wonder the policy behind that, because it does restrict the ability of lower income people to have access, equal access to that park. And so what's that relationship?
Yeah, so co-chairs and Representative Holvey. So the Oregon State Park Foundation is a nonprofit partner that solely exists to support state parks. And so their fundraising efforts go back into maintenance projects, acquisitions. They do things like, currently they're doing a ticket to ride program where they get underserved children from different communities that schools that can no longer afford field trips. They actually put gas in the tank and they get them out to parks. And we've served many thousands of children this last year. So we held 30 sites out of all of our sites for them to be able to auction off, to be able to have as a fundraiser. We opened additional 1,000 campsites that weren't going to be available to the public for like $10 and $12 for other folks. So it's a very small amount, and it was a very interesting way to see how excited people can be about some of our sites, but state parks will never be offering sites for that amount of money.
Okay. Did you have Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And I wanted to echo the comments of Co-Vice Chair Smith in thanking the director and the department for accommodating Oregonians and for helping keep Oregon very special. But in particular, I wanted to thank you for your work in getting ready for the 21st of August this year, when the first total solar eclipse to reach North America will touch down for the very first time in an Oregon State Park for the first time in North America and work its way across Oregon. And the department, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair, has been doing remarkable work to prepare to assist Oregonians and visitors to Oregon across the entire swath of Oregon that goes dark that morning.
I remember that.
Representative Huffman, then Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm only half joking.
Listen to exactly.
I want to volunteer my time to help Rooster Rock change the stop sign. I will happily come and take care of that myself to make more sense out of the entrance.
Mm-hmm. We'll happily welcome you to come, and we're actually looking at changing it. And you're. So he was visiting, and then there's a stop sign where you used to have to stop and get your permit or check your permit. Most of those automated now, and so there's some of that reengineering that should occur. And so thank you for pointing it out. And
you.
That's not the only part we need to have you volunteer in.
The letter will come on Monday. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Representative Gomberg's affirmation just a moment ago answered my question. So, thank you.
Okay. Senator Roblin.
Yes, since our other representative was picking on my favorite agency head, I do want to say that in Representative Gomberg's and my district this last year, they made a concerted effort because a community out at Pacific City was having a rash of kids falling off. And people falling off the cliffs there where they aren't supposed to be. They did readjust the positions of their rangers to make sure that we had some help, and our county did as well. And we had an amazing reduction in the number of emergencies that were called for our rural fire departments in that area just because of them reassessing where they put the assets they already had. So it didn't cost anybody anything, but it did make a big difference on safety at our parks on the coast. So I appreciate the quickness in which they did that. I appreciate the fact that they came to all these meetings that the community held throughout the summer and last fall. And it was a perfect example of how people are responsive to needs that communities address. And I appreciate the parks for doing that.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Before I open the work session on the next, the final item, the federal grant application for the Oregon Health Authority, I realize that there is a lot of news about the Oregon Health Authority, much of it not favorable. Can I get a show of hands who wants to talk about this grant?
For about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Can I make a No.
We're trying to
just raise your.
I'm trying to avoid an hour and a half discussion about OHA. I'll just put it on the table.
But can I say something about the issue that you just brought up before people start to talk?
Well, you're going to carry the grant, aren't you? No, Representative Rayfield is.
Oh,
I'll
not.
Go to you right after Rayfield carries.
Okay.
So I will open a work session on the Oregon Health Authority integration of primary and behavioral health care. Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On May 16th, the Human Services Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Oregon Health Authority to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration in the amount of $2 million per year for 5 years to promote the integration of primary and behavioral health care. The purpose of the grant is to promote full integration in clinical practice between primary and behavioral health care. The grant will focus on those organizations participating in the Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinics Demonstration Project. Currently, 12 organizations are certified to participate and receive enhanced federal matching rates. In addition to federal standards for these clinics, Oregon requires at least 20 hours per week of on-site primary care. This new funding opportunity would help implement this primary care requirement. If the grant is awarded, the behavioral health clinics would be able to use these funds to support the integration of primary care services through infrastructure development and direct services. Some examples include physical health screenings, wraparound services, establishing health electronic record exchanges, purchase instruments necessary for screenings, and expanding clinic workforce, such as adding a primary care provider. No state matching funds are required, and no additional staff are needed, and this has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. I believe that Co-Chair Devlin had indicated that Senator Steiner Hayward would be the next to speak. So, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, two things. I want to talk briefly about this grant and its importance, and then I want to talk about the other issue. With regard to this grant, I think you all know that Oregon has done a remarkable job with its patient-centered primary care home program that has been demonstrated to save the state millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, literally, over the first 3 years of its existence, based on a very well-done report put out by Portland State University last fall. This is the reverse of that. Those primary care homes succeed because of integration of behavioral health in part at least, because of integration of behavioral health and case management into the primary care setting. We do, however, have many Oregonians for whom their primary health issue is severe persistent mental illness, and they are historically subject to significant health disparities because it's difficult for them to access the important preventive care and disease management, chronic disease management that most people get. This grant and the combination of this and the demonstration project that the carrier alluded to will allow the reverse of that. It will put primary care into behavioral health homes, and it is critically important to ensuring improved health and well-being for people in Oregon who struggle with severe persistent mental illness and substantially decreasing costs. So I really urge you to separate out this from anything else. But now I want to talk, since the co-chair chose to bring it up, I want to talk about this other issue. My co-chair and I are well aware of the concerns raised by the Secretary of State, as are others. I want to be crystal clear, as I've said publicly to at least three reporters this week, that this is not a new issue, that the health authority has been keeping the legislature and the governor apprised of this issue for 3 years now, that it's been keeping the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services apprised of this in monthly calls, that it has a plan in place, which it is meeting all of the deadlines on, and there is no concern on the part of OHA or CMS that it's going to result in finding tens of thousands of people who are ineligible for OHP. Furthermore, federal law prohibits terminating someone from the health plan prior to determining that they are not eligible. All right, let me be clear about this. Until they are officially determined to be ineligible, federal law says you cannot kick them off the plan. The health authority is going about this in a very deliberate way, related to a variety of legacy systems where they're having to transition people manually and do manual redeterminations into the new one system, which is working very well. That process is going exactly as planned, and it will be better. We expect this to be fully resolved, certainly before the end of this calendar year, and probably within the next 4 to 6 months. So while I certainly appreciate concerns about whether there's a risk to the state from the number of people who have not yet gone through redetermination, and I am fast to be concerned when I think there's a real problem, I can assure you that there is no evidence of the concern that the Secretary of State raised being a real concern or being a legitimate concern. I do not know why he chose to release those results early. That's his prerogative, although the policy on his website says that it is the policy of the Audit Division not to release results midstream because of exactly the reason that I think we're going to discover here, which is that it isn't actually a problem. So I understand people are concerned, but I think that concern is unwarranted. And I do not think we're at risk, and I'm frankly a little disappointed with the Secretary of State for violating his own policy and releasing results early and causing a kerfuffle where there doesn't need to be one.
Okay. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Let me preface my comments by sharing I have nothing but the deepest respect for our co-vice chair and the chair of the subcommittee. You and I are good friends. And I have a high level of regard for your intellect and ability to run subcommittees. And Mr. and Mrs. Co-Chair, Mrs. Co-Chair, Mr.
Co-Chair. Shut up.
You know this on the Signy Die video now.
Yes, it is.
I just made Signy Die video.
I don't know. Thompson didn't make it 2 years ago.
Some people will understand that.
All right. Back to a serious note now that all credibility is lost. I want you folks to know what I'm about to share is in no way indicative of your ability to run the budget process. I want you folks to know I have lost complete confidence in the Oregon Health Authority. I have served in the legislature for 9 terms, and I've been in Ways and Means almost all of that time. And when you serve that long in Ways and Means, you start to get an inkling of what's working and what's not. And it is obvious to me something is not appropriate in the Oregon Health Authority in the way they manage their activities. Now, I want to talk about Secretary of State Richardson. Many of you know this. If you don't, you're about to learn this. Dennis and I don't really get along. We really don't get along. He and I've had some really behind-closed-door arguments on how to manage a budget. Long discussions. But I'll tell you one thing about Dennis. He's a man of integrity. This is a person who will not fudge information. He will not distort. He will not lie. That is not Dennis. And again, I want to be very clear. He and I don't always agree. And folks who have been around here for a long time know our voting records don't always match up. But I want to share that with you. I've heard comments from multiple folks saying we all knew about this. I'm the House Republican Budget Chair. Okay? I'm responsible for working with our caucus, my caucus, to help create a record of how we're going to vote, what our message is going to be. Never once has that director set foot in my office to share with me what's going on. So while some of you may know what's going on, the minority party didn't. And this came as a shock to us. And I think that's inappropriate. So today we're going to look at a grant for $2 million to help nonprofits in the integration of primary and behavioral health care. There is nothing more important than that activity. I agree with that. I want to share with you personally, I fully support making sure health care for those who need it get it. I want that single mom to be able to get the health care she needs for her children and doesn't have to worry about how she's going to keep the lights on. I want that 19-year-old boy who got kicked out of Oregon State University for substance abuse to be able to get assistance that he may need. I want those families who need help to get it. But I have to tell you, I think the Oregon Health Authority is actually detrimental to ensuring that occurs. There's too many activities of waste and abuse that continue to get reported. Keep in mind, it was just a few years ago we were reading about $300 million wasted on a website that didn't exist. Do you guys remember that conversation really quick, by the way? They came and put a website up and were showing us the activity. The biggest mistake I made at that time is I didn't say, can you push the back button? Can you push the homepage button? It didn't exist. $300 million. What would $300 million have done to help that single mom with a couple kids? Now we get a report from the Secretary of State once again talking about a misuse of money. And again, I want to make sure kids get the health care they need. I want that mom to have it. I want that dumb teenage boy to get the care that he may need. But I'm not sure the director is going to get us there. I'm not sure that this $2 million is going to be used appropriately for physical health screenings or wraparound services. I definitely have no confidence that they're going to help establish electronic health record exchange. I have no confidence they're going to pull that off. By the way, just because someone's a director of healthcare doesn't make them an expert in how to do these things, and yet over and over and over again, they come to our subcommittees and give us this word of they know how to get things done. Doesn't happen. I have no confidence that they're going to be purchasing instruments necessary for screenings, and if they do, I have no confidence it's going to be done in a manner that is cost effective. So I'm going to be a no today. I'm actually going to be a no on multiple Oregon Health Authority actions, not because I want to see services denied or limited or reduced, but I have no authority or no confidence in the Oregon Health Authority. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, I will support this federal grant application because the work needs to be done. But there's plenty of fault to go around for a variety of OHA activities. For today's purposes, I'm only going to focus on one. The Oregon Health Authority has substantial culpability in the ill-conceived, maladroit, and calculated attempt to smear the reputation of an Oregon company. DEQ should not bear the full brunt of the criticism levied against the overly aggressive approach to air quality regulation in Oregon. OHA was a major player. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Winters.
I'm going to focus on the grant application, and I agree with the good co-vice chair, Senator Johnson. There is plenty of finger pointing to go around. I don't want to lose sight of this particular, the focus of this grant. In 2009, we passed the health care reform. And part of that health care reform was to integrate, for the first time, behavioral health with fiscal health. You know, we sat in this body, a number of us gave speeches, and it's about time that we dealt with the entire body and began to focus on the needs of our mental health community. This particular federal grant, with no general fund dollars required in it, will be in effect for 5 years, totaling $10 million to go to those centers to focus and concentrate on delivering those services. We have heard probably in this body more concern about the need for mental health services in the state of Oregon than any other issue that we have heard over the many years. And so it's for those reasons. If we have the opportunity, they don't have the grant yet, but if we have the opportunity to receive the dollars that will go specifically to these centers for this particular purpose, I think we should make that application so that we can improve the lives of individuals in this state. So I will be supporting this grant application to the federal government for the $2 million covering 5 years each. I think it's $2 million in a year. Isn't that not correct? Or two? Okay. 5 years?
Yes.
I think that totals $10 million.
Okay. Last time I did the math, yes. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll throw out a number, 22. When I did some research on the Bureau of Labor Statistics, it listed as 20 per day. This is the numbers that are tossed out about veterans that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder that are taking their lives. I had an opportunity to go out and look at, visit some of the jails, and because the mental illness and the lack of funding or focus on these areas is so, so widespread. We're now using the jails and prisons to deal with people that are suffering from mental illness when they should be receiving treatment. While things have occurred previously, you know, in different agencies, I think that we as a legislative body should take some blame for that as well, because you know, we are the ones that should be making sure that they hold their feet to the fire. This one is something that I will continue to fight for, to get as many opportunities to help veterans, mothers, families, the help that they need around mental health. I've been working with Senator Boquist, and we're reaching out for any kind of help, any kind of possibility to get some help out there. While things are not perfect, if we fail to move forward, then we are denying an opportunity to come up with anything that may help save a life. I will be supporting this because we can fix the past moving forward, but what's done in the past is done. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? First, Senator Girard, then Senator Steiner-Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to vote yes, but this is a very difficult yes for me for two reasons. One, this agency, I will agree with Representative Smith, it has financially been a disaster the way it's been run. Constant cost overruns. It just really, truly has been a disaster. Number two, I agree with Senator Johnson that with the Antec fiasco, this was a co-conspirator, and the evidence goes right back to them trying to justify part of their own existence. So this message should be loud and clear to the health authority. You better get your act together. And to be real honest, I think you just need a new director.
Senator Stein.
Thank you. Just a quick couple of comments. I appreciate the comments from Senator Winters and Senator Manning in support of the purpose of this grant and could not agree with them more. I just want to point out a couple of things. I agree there have been some challenges at the health authority, but I would also remind this committee that over the past 5+ years, they've been through this. This is their third or fourth director, and the last long-term director spent the last couple of years working on primarily on OHP expansion rather than other issues. And Ms. Saxton has done a remarkable job coming in and reorganizing a pretty disorganized agency. She's pared out a lot of excess management positions, reorganized them in ways that make more sense structurally, and in a significant way is running it a lot more like a business. And that's a good thing. One of the challenges, though, is that sometimes businesses aren't quite as transparent and upfront about what they're doing as government agencies are expected to be. So we can't always have it both ways. And that's a fine line for her to negotiate, and I think she and her team are working hard to find that line. I do agree that they can always bear to communicate a little bit better. I would point out to my good friend and co-vice chair Smith that they did report on this issue to the House Health Committee in March, which I believe has a whole bunch of Senate Republican members on it. They reported to the Joint Committee on Information Management and Technology in April, and that we will be having a hearing on this issue next Tuesday in Human Services Subcommittee, and anybody is welcome to join us. I will be in Massachusetts at my daughter's college graduation, but anybody else is welcome to join us. So for those of you who are concerned, we encourage you to join us next week for the hearing. But I think that may help alleviate some of the concerns. But I appreciate everybody's support for this grant because it's a really important thing to help move this kind of integrated health care forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee?
Discussion.
Or you want to be? Yeah. Representative Smith.
Thank you. Just very, very briefly, I want to share with everyone that while my passion on this is sincere, I also want everyone to know I stand ready to work with all of you to make the Oregon Health Authority an agency we can be proud of. And so while my comments were very pointed and perhaps a little aggressive, I do want you to know I'll work with all of you to try and make this work. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Any objection to the motion before the committee? Yes. No, Representative Smith. Motion carries. Before we adjourn, I want to be careful how I say some things. We will be meeting next Friday. Our agenda should be longer than it was today. It will only get longer after that. After next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, this committee for Fridays has probably 4 Fridays left. So since you can see how many actual budgets we have actually moved, and the fact that we have 285 bills sitting in Ways and Means, and some of them will move, some of them, of course, will not, your agendas will get very full. I think both Representative Nathanson and I, some may question the germaneness of some of the discussion on the DEQ grant and on this OHA grant, but in both cases, those two agencies are administering those grants, and the members' concerns about the administration of those agencies is germane to those grants.
Absolutely.
I just want to put that on the record, though, because our agendas are going to get quite full, and our ability is going to be to, we're going to have to make some fairly, not quick decisions, but we're not going to have as much time, and we're not going to be limited to Fridays for meetings as we get closer to the end of the session. And if we go very long on Friday mornings, we will just maybe adjourn or recess for lunch and come back in the afternoon to finish our agendas. So I think it's been a good discussion today, but this is probably your last short agenda. That we are adjourned.
Mr. Chair, provider tax right away?
10:30.
Oh, not till 10:30.